ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب and do not give insulting names by giving bad nicknames. This is done by calling others with names that the person does not like being called with, such names that which the person might find offensive. For example, calling someone black or blind. Alqab is such names by which the other person feels shame and doesn't like it, while the person who is calling those names thinks he is joking. For example, calling someone fat, if you don't even like the other person to mind it. In mocking, it includes name calling, using negative words, because words bite and hurt others. On the day of Qiyamah, the one upon this behavior will see their wrongs and how they used to hurt others by what they said. Some people give nicknames out of frankness, even if the other person doesn't like it. The Prophet ﷺ would call others with good names. We too should call people with good names. We will see how we get loved by people that way. Sometimes people make comments on how women cover themselves. Today we should stop with this wrongful behavior, because tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, people will take our good deeds because of it. If we do not like the name the other person calls us with, we should let them know politely, so the person realizes here in this life. Ibn Abbas said about tanabazu bil alqab, means if a person committed a sin or did something bad and then he repents after it, then someone mentions him with a bad name, for example, saying he is a robber or a crook, even while he has left the wrongdoing and repented, or calling someone alcoholic even while the person left it and repented. If you call them with previous wrongful deeds, that is forbidden. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever taunts another Muslim for sins he repented and left doing, then Allah takes upon himself to involve him in the same sin and will not take him back or cause him to die until he is involved in the same sin. He will be humiliated in this world and in the hereafter. Therefore, we cannot taunt anyone for their past sins. If a person has repented, then their matter is with Allah, and we do not need to remind them of their past wrongdoings. This is forbidden. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever shames a Muslim brother for his past sins that he repented for, then he will not die until he doesn't commit the same sin. This shaming and taunting is not to do nasiha and is only done to humiliate the other person. بئس الاسم, how bad is the name. بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان, how bad is the sinful name after Iman, after faith. Faith is a beautiful thing. After that, do not increase yourself in fisq. Ism al-fusuq is saying something that is offensive to the other person. Such are evil things. For one who attests to Iman, these things are done by tongue, taunting, mocking, putting down people. These are such evils that cannot be in the hearts of a believer. Iman is a beautiful thing, and these evils cannot be in the heart of a person who is a believer. It cannot be that both things be in the heart. It only happens either because the iman in the heart is weak or when there is no iman. So this is an evil. وَلَمْ يَتُبْ, and whoever does not repent. What we learn is that the etiquettes that are mentioned, if they are not followed, then they are a sin, because repentance is made when a sin is committed. So we learn whoever does not repent and abstain from this sin and persists, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ, then these are the people who are the criminals, the wrongdoers. Oppressing is not just devouring the wealth of the poor people, or who rob people, or who hurt other people physically. those are injustices and wrongful conduct. However, one who violates the honor of his Muslim brother, while Allah declares that he is a zalim, even then Allah gives a way out, and that is repentance. If a person repents, then they can come out from this sin. But even if one, after learning the command, persists upon it, then he is a zalim. And what are the punishments of a zalim? We will learn about them. Does Allah love the zalim? No. Allah loves those who are just. And justice is that we do not do these things. One punishment of a zalim is that these injustices will become darknesses for the zalim on the day of Qiyamah or resurrection. They will not get any nur or light when the light will be most needed. So repentance is very important. Here we are encouraged to repent. Whatever was done in the past was done. So cannot just take these commands lightly, thinking that they are just etiquettes. No, we must repent if we have done that in the past. If we said such things knowingly or unknowingly. If we had said such things, then we have to safeguard ourselves from repeating them in the future. If we hurt anyone by saying such things, then we must ask for those we wronged to forgive us. This is an extra step when there is negligence in haqooq or the rights of other people. As if there is negligence in the due rights of Allah, a person repents and has to feel remorse over the past sins. But for this negligence in the rights of others, this is the other step, asking for their forgiveness. From a hadith, we learn to ask for forgiveness for those we have hurt. As we, when we are students of Quran or considers ourselves one who walk upon the deen of Allah, we think the behavior with others does not have any relation with our piety. We feel just praying, fasting, learning Quran, giving charity, and doing all other requisites of Islam think that is enough. And we think, what relation does it have with our conduct with others? And have no worry about our own behavior and manners with people. Sometimes there is lack of concern how our reputation is with our family, whether we are rude or polite, whether we cheat others or cause fights or strife in others' homes, or are we double-faced, thinking that there is no relation with being religious. But here from this ayah we learn if our conduct with other people is not good, then there is no piety. This is a split personality. When on one side, people are observant of salah and fast, and then on the other hand, have wrongful conduct with others. So much so that people are fed up with their behavior. While being observant of duties to Allah and having good relations and conduct with others are not separate things. We have to take care of both of these aspects in our lives. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran minadh-dhann. O you who believe, avoid much from the zan, the supposition or assumptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to stay away from a lot of suppositions or assumptions. Don't jump to conclusions. For example, if we see a person we know dressed up coming from somewhere, we begin with negative assumptions about the person. We have to stay away from certain suspicions because inna ba'dhu dhanni ithm, because indeed some assumptions and suspicions are a sin. Not all assumptions or suspicions are correct, such as having good assumptions and thoughts about Allah is good and not prohibited, but suspicions and evil assumptions about others and being suspicious about where they are going or coming from, who is going to someone's house and what is going on or what they are up to, or thinking, is there a party going on in their house? Suspicious behavior that causes a person to reach certain conclusions. That is what it must be. We have to be careful about this. We are told, ijtanibu, avoid, stay away from suspicion. In this ayah, we are forbidden from three things, just as in the previous ayah, because some assumptions are a sin. Is this something done with the mouth, or with the hand, or with the feet? No, this is only negative thinking. Even the suspicious thoughts that arise are a sin. We normally don't think that the thoughts that arise in our minds could be a source of sin. We learn about husne zan, good assumptions or suppositions. That is a good deed, thinking good about others. For example, if someone we know is pious, and we think good of them, that is good. A person cannot assume bad of another Muslim without proof. For example, hearing a recording or witnessing something with their own eyes. Without proof, the scholars say, a person cannot assume about anyone. Rather, having good assumptions about every Muslim earns reward from Allah. Sometimes when a person gets hurt or faces losses due to one person, they start assuming bad about everyone else in a group, such as all men are the same, or all Muslims are this way, or all so-and-so like this. These are bad assumptions. It's not possible that everyone is like that, but to start assuming bad about everyone. Therefore, having wrong assumptions, even if a person does not say anything with their mouth, good assumptions can earn reward. Then we learn that assumptions don't stay assumptions, but go to the next step or level. Assuming bad of others was a sign of the hypocrites, the munafiq. As a munafiq at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of their suspicion and wrongful assumptions, made wrong assumptions about Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. As she had separated from her caravan and was coming back with Sufwan, because of just this, they started having evil assumptions about her. They did not have any witnesses, nor any other proof, only suspicion. We learn in Surah Al-Fat that when the Prophet ﷺ left Medina for his Umrah, at that time the hypocrites saw them leaving without their weapons and heading towards the enemies of Mecca. They assumed that the Muslims would not return. This was mentioned in Ayah 12 of Surah Al-Fath. You assumed that the Prophet and the believers would never return back to their homes. This was their assumption that led to their destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited believers from wrongful assumptions, because the wrong assumptions are from shaitan. Majority of the time, wrongful assumptions are made about women and young women, because their honor is at stake. Wrongful assumptions do not stay in the mind, but comes out in words of mouth. This is how rumors start, and this is from shaitan. A true believer should not affirm thoughts from shaitan, nor make shaitan happy with this. Even if a person smells alcohol from someone's mouth, they should assume perhaps someone tricked him to drink it, or maybe he drank one sip and spat it out. By further action on wrongful assumptions, we cannot make the shaitan happy. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has forbidden the blood, the wealth, and evil suspicions about another Muslim and made it unlawful. Unless we witness something with our own eyes, or two pious people come forward as witnesses, we cannot make wrongful assumptions about anyone. The shaitan instills wrongful and evil assumptions in the minds of people and continues on from one level to the next. If it is crushed in the first step, the matter would not go forward. But when we entertain these suspicions in our mind, the matters get worse and lead to spying. It begins with wrongful assumptions, then spying, For example, start checking the phone or following after the person. Then go to the person's house and spy on them. We cannot do this. We have to deal with the other Muslims on what is apparent. Spying is following after a person and violating a person's privacy. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you look for faults of people, then you will turn them bad. Do not look for their faults. Why do people look for faults in others? The following after them is not to rectify affairs, but to get them in trouble. It is mentioned in a hadith that when a leader starts looking at faults of his people and starts becoming more harsh, it corrupts the people. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever covers another Muslim's faults will get rewarded as he saved a girl that was buried alive. Such a great reward. Even if he sees a fault in someone, they should cover it up, not looking for faults in people. This is done with those near in relations. Another way this is done is following up and reading up about celebrities. What does it matter to us if a certain celebrity married or not, or has a child or not, or where he or she is vacationing? This is suspicion. Suspicion is also within a family, asking and talking about the private affairs of others, which are of no concern to us. The Prophet ﷺ said, the beauty of a person's Islam is that he stays away from that which does not concern him, minding one's own business. We cannot get into other people's businesses or affairs. A Muslim is focused on what is that concerns him, not involving uselessly in other people's affairs. This will only turn us away from our real purpose of life. Following after others and spying on neighbors or other people, this is forbidden by Allah. Inshallah, we will continue with Ayah 12 next time. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
يا أيها الذين آمنوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهم ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم